Take another breath, everybody. We're going in. All the way in to the best part of us, to the best places within us. It's time of meditation. It's a time of celebration. So keep breathing in and through. And let this breath touch every cell, every tissue, every fiber of your being, head to toe and toe to head. Gently in through the nose, gently out through the mouth. Till finally you send that breath up, up to the highest point, up to our crown. In unity, we call this place within us, we call it our Christ mind. We call it our super conscious mind. It is that part of mind within us that remembers God. And as I remember God, I remember I am good. I remember I've always been good. I will always be good. I am good. And so let's let this memory of God, this memory of good begin to flow down through our vision and let it heal our sight. Let it flow through our hearing, that we may hear the truth. Let it flow through our mouth, that we may speak the truth. Let it flow through the whole body, again, touching every cell, every tissue, every fiber of our being, head to toe and toe to head. We're on our way into the silence. And on that journey inward, continue to remind yourself, oh, I remember I am good. Oh, I remember I am good. Oh, I remember I am good. Let's go on in. Oh, oh, I remember. Oh, it's a good memory. It's a true memory. Oh, how fantastic. So in this memory, let's begin our journey back here. Back here to this place, this sanctuary called unity. As we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. Fantastic. Fantastic. I'm so glad to be back at Unity, Unity of New York. And when Britt invited me, I knew what I wanted to talk about. And I said, can I invite two friends to come with me? And he said, yes. What's he going to say? No, really? Yeah. But David Friedman. I think he's going to take your seat. He's going to take your seat there. Scoot. As I wanted us to hear two of David Friedman's songs today. But I have a relatively new friend who I love him. He has... We met in an unusual circumstance, which I may explain in a little bit, but he, because of the way he does things in his life, David and I have so much more love in our house. And if you see my Facebook page, you've seen two kittens on there. And Mark breeds kittens. That's how we found it, I'll tell you now. We went online in February, and we saw this kitten online that Mark had advertised. And we said, oh, that's our new cat, because we put our 19-year-old to sleep last summer. We are men with cats. And should tell everything. And I got to chatting with Mark that night. I wrote to him, and it turns out I told him about David, and he said, oh, well, I used to sing too. And then later on he said, maybe I'll learn one of David's songs. Well, it turns out he's got this resume that's crazy, and if you look in your bulletin, and so it's just crazy. He's played Jesus, he's played Tony, he's played whoever in Camelot. I don't know the characters there, but it was for Richard Harris. I know you did. It's just this crazy international thing. And then I heard him sing, and my heart wept with joy. And I don't usually use terms like that, but that's really what it felt like. And I've heard him sing several times now. And these two songs of David's in particular, I asked him to sing. So please, won't you please welcome Mark Vitale. Sing.
Good morning. I didn't bring any kittens with me today. I have seen the sights from the highest hill, had my name in lights, and felt the thrill of a thousand hearts beating just for me, played a thousand parts, but couldn't see that nothing I could be, nothing I could do, could ever mean as much to me as what I see in your eyes. I finally see the light. I've waited all my life to find the kind of love I feel tonight. In your eyes, I see that I am home. How could I not have known that all my dreams were waiting in your eyes? Many years I've tried, searching far and wide for the peace of mind I thought I'd find in the arms of fame. But I never knew that it's all in vain without someone who will care for you alone, no matter what you do, and be the one when day is done who's waiting there for you. In your eyes, I finally see the light. I've waited all my life to find the kind of love I feel tonight. In your eyes, I see that I am home. How could I not have known that all my dreams were waiting in your eyes? Now, as I look at you, all the pain is past. My wildest dreams came true. I have it all at last. I finally see the light. I've waited all my life to find the kind of love I feel tonight. In your eyes, I see that I am home. How could I not have known?
Good. He's very good. David Friedman is very good. You know, my job today is to point the way to God, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to point the way. That's what the minister's job. Just point the way. Always point the way. And you know, the way isn't always pretty. Have you noticed that? And the way clearly isn't always nice. I wish it were. You know, it nice would be if all my enemies were smote down. The problem with nice is if God were nice, I'd have been smote down a few times myself. Yes, there are those who have had issue with me in the past. And so, now that I am redeemed. But it's been one heck of a year in our house. It's really been a year of really having to explore, I've done my spiritual work, I've done this, and stuff still happens. Life still happens. And it can be difficult. Would you agree? Yeah. It could be difficult. But how do you embrace the whole package? Because that lyric of David's that Mark just sang, which is, how could I not have known? You know, when I've had so many awakenings in my life. How could I not have known that I was loved? How could I not have known? Well, I'll tell you how. When I forget. When I forget. And I forget to use the whole package called me for my healing and awakening journey. I'm asking David to come up here and speak for a moment. And there's two purposes. One, he has an amazing message, and the other is he's got a brand new book back there. And some might say, well, that's a shameless plug, and so what? I've got the mic. And so, David.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so very quickly, many of you know about my work in Thought Exchange because I started it here. This church has such significance to me. It was my first Unity experience. And I did a workshop here, which grew into the Thought Exchange. And the way this happened was, I understood the principles, and I knew that we all understand the principles, but somehow we take on a positive thought, and 2 seconds later, we put the positive thought down. And I was wondering why that is. We're not stupid. We're not lazy. There must be some reason. And what I came across was that when we take on a positive thought, if that positive thought was associated with pain or trauma in our earlier life, we feel uncomfortable sensations. And so what we came to in this workshop, which became the subject of my first book, was that in order to hold a positive thought, you have to be willing to be with the sensations that come with it, even if they're uncomfortable. When you want to walk on a stage, if you want to walk on the stage, often you have to be willing to have your heart pounding, have your hands shaking, have your knees shaking. So I wrote a book called The Thought Exchange, Overcoming Our Resistance to Living a Sensational Life. And many of you, last time we had so many people in the workshop, we couldn't fit them all, and the fire alarm kept going off. You remember that? It was a wonderful experience. Anyway, so the purpose, which a lot of people, I think, come to Unity for and spiritual work for, seemed to be that now you could get what you wanted if you just held the thought and put up with these uncomfortable sensations. So that's where we left off. But I thought, wait a minute, why would that be? Why are these uncomfortable sensations here? And so I began continuing research, and what I realized was that these uncomfortable sensations, which we've been pushing away our whole life, are actually our inner child, our past, the part of us that went through traumas that were unseen, trying to be seen by someone who understands so we can heal. And that someone is ourselves. And so, rather than just being put up with so that we can get what we want and still feel lousy, perhaps, what I looked into was that it is so important to feel these things. And this became the subject of my second book. It's my new book. I have some of them here. They've been selling so fast, I haven't been able to keep myself in stock, but I have order forms also. But the book is called The Healing Power of Negative Thoughts and Uncomfortable Sensations. Stop being afraid of them and start using them to heal. Now, briefly, interestingly enough, I am so thrilled that Mark is singing. The reason I'm not singing is that the moment I finished the manuscript, I got the opportunity to practice my principles. I was doing something I should never do, which was cleaning the garage, and I hit my head, and I had a concussion, and was sort of out of commission for a while. And I'm happy to say that with these principles, I'm fine. I just have a little bit of voice spasm left, so I'm not ready to sing. So thank you, Mark, for stepping up and doing that. But I will be back. And so I know these principles work because I had to do them myself. So I'll be in the back there afterwards. Come see me. I have my CDs also. If you don't have the Thought Exchange book, I have some of those. But I have the new book, and just chat with me about it or pick one up or whatever. Shameless plug. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been magic around our house this year. Just magic. I was coming home from a six-week sabbatical, and he hit his head the 4 days before I came home. "Don't yell at me," he said. "Don't yell at me, but I hit my head." And so, "What were you thinking? What were you thinking that you would hit your head? What's wrong with you?" You know, those are the thoughts that went through my mind. Fortunately, I didn't say them on the phone. But, you know, to look at all that, because the light is lovely. The light is just lovely. But how do you take the whole package called you? Myrtle Fillmore, our Unity's co-founder, said, "Owing to a lack of understanding of the health laws, neither of us was as healthy as we ought to have been." And so she had to get to the point of knowing the health laws, of applying the health laws. And some people say, "Sean, what are those health laws? I want to get a hold of those." And it's like, you have them. You have them. They are your thoughts. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. It's not a punishment. And, you know, thinking the positive thoughts is not a reward. Thinking the negative thoughts are not a punishment. But it is the result. We live in the results. And people say, "But I know, I I'm doing all the right stuff. And if you have read your Unity literature, as I'm sure you all have, there, by the way, have you looked at that Science Mind magazine out there? Doesn't it look like Mad Magazine version of the Dalai Lama? Look at the bookstore when you go out there. Anyway, Myrtle Fillmore was, she was diagnosed, in case you don't know, she was diagnosed with TB in 1886. She was given 3 months to live. She didn't care for that diagnosis, and she looked around for some other means than medication to heal, because the medication wasn't doing it for her. And the medical diagnosis certainly wasn't helping her to live what she knew, something going on. And then she heard a lecture that said, I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness. And that worked for her, and she went home. And she understood that we have intelligence in all these cells, and we're talking to all these cells all the time. And so she went home and said, I'm so sorry that I called you sick. You know, she's talking to her body. I'm sorry I called you sick. It's the same way to saying, boy, you look great today. Saying to somebody else, are you feeling okay? You know, one will pick your shoulders up. The other, and so you look at that, and so she, I'm sorry I called you sick. And then she began a two-year, diligent, the word is diligent, meaning pay attention, diligent process of praise. She praised her physical body. She praised everything going on inside her body, all the blood, all the oxygen, all the organs, all the tissues, all the thoughts. She praised it, she praised it, she praised it. She didn't keep beating herself up by apologizing. One was enough, and then she praised it. Well, in those 2 years' time, you know, things came up. Things came up, you know, because she started feeling better. But then one day, she could feel her lungs tightening and contracting there. And she thought, oh, geez, what do I do here? And this little voice of love inside her head said, open up all the windows and clean your house. But I'm sick. I can't clean my house. How many of you said, but I don't feel like it today. You know, I'll just stay on the TV and eat. I'll stay and watch TV and eat. But she said, I'm sick. But she listened to that voice. She knew it was a voice of love. Okay, fine, I'll open the windows. And she cleaned, and by the end of the day, she had perspired all the lung stuff, all the pneumonia out of her. And I have a good friend that used to come around these parts. He had HIV. He was diagnosed with HIV, so he started reading all these books from Unity and different places, and he read that story, and that was logical to him. Clean, and you will feel better. And he started up a business called Mr. Clean Queen. Today, he is a healthy, touring, working actor. So I know that he applied the principle, but he got those difficult ones. You know those ones that haven't cleaned their house since 1984? Those were his main clients. And they hated him when he was finished cleaning their house. They were furious at him. Because suddenly they're left with all this space for all those thoughts they were hiding. All those negative thoughts we don't want to hold on to. We don't want it as part of our package. And so we'll pretend they're in the cobwebs. We'll pretend they're in the clutter. We'll pretend they're there. But I'll leave my house looking spanking clean and lovely, and no one will know I am harboring, holding on to these thoughts. So Myrtle cleaned all those thoughts out of her house. She sweated it out of her body. Okay. Little while later comes on, she's starting to feel sick again. What's going on here? She made a list of all her assets. Or no, all her faults. She made a list of all her faults. She could not find one that would do this. And then that little voice of love that lives in us said, well, fine, so look through your faults. If your assets are, or your faults are fine, look through your, doggone it. Look through your assets. If your faults are not a problem, look through your assets. And she found one. It's called pride. She found pride. She never wanted to show anyone when she was upset. She didn't want to acknowledge the shadow. Now, she didn't want to see it herself, and she didn't want anyone, because, you know, if we're spiritual people, we don't have a shadow. If we're spiritual people, I must not be doing it right. But the voice said, no, dear. Dear one, as she liked to say. Dear one. Look at it. Look at that pride. Look at it. Find a new way to handle it. Find a new way to look at your upset. But go ahead and have it. The healing power of what David talked about, the healing power of a negative thought. We can heal through any and all means, but we must first heal in the mind. The mind controls it all. Now listen to this. I brought my favorite book with me. I love David's, but this is my favorite. It's called The Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. It's a channeled book, and Regina Dawn Akers is the one who channeled it. But it is the Bible, or the New Testament, Matthew through Revelation. And this first reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And it says here, "Do not be confused. The world is confusion, and thoughts of the world are thoughts of confusion. Thoughts of confusion are not your truth, so thoughts of confusion are not the thoughts you want to attempt to share. The mind is tricky, because the mind is split. On your own, you cannot trust the thoughts of the mind. Thoughts of the mind may seem righteous when they are but confusion." Does that make sense? Good. "To listen to the mind without testing it is to risk listening to confusion as if it makes sense." So some of you might want to consider thinking about what you're saying before you say it. "To listen to the mind without testing it is to risk listening. The test for the mind is purpose, and purpose is the true desire of the heart, because the heart is not at the surface of the mind. The mind must rest to be tested by the heart. But the test is not difficult. The test need not be long. It takes only a moment to remember your purpose, and only an instant to make the mind the subordinate of the heart. Do not fear that you do not know confusion, and do not know the purpose of the heart, for you do know. It is written within you by the nature of your truth. Seek only for a moment to test your thoughts by the true desire of the heart, and the light of the heart shall shine, that you may see your thoughts truly. You cannot be confused within the light of the heart, for the light of your heart is your memory of truth. And your memory of truth knows not of confusion, so confusion must disappear in its light." Okay, you do know. This is what I came to terms with when I began taking classes at Unity. I'd always suspected it, but I really found out in those classes that I was studying of Emily Cady and Myrtle Fillmore. I found out, I do know. I know right from wrong. I know it. I know it within me. I don't want to know it frequently. Frequently, I do not want. I prefer the confusion to knowing it. And that's why when the first time I heard Mark sing David's song here, and I heard that big, long note of how could I not have known, and I thought, oh, man, there was no way I could not have known. There was no way. They said that God was omnipresence. Omnipotence, omniscience. They told me God is intelligence itself, and I am made in the image and likeness of God. That God is not a person, but principle. But that God is truth, God is spirit, and this is what I am made in. So you see, whether I'm pretending to know, I still know. I can pretend I'm not loved, but I am loved. I can pretend I'm not intelligence, but I am intelligent. I can pretend I'm not at peace, but I have peace in me. I can pretend I'm not happy, but joy is my natural state. I can pretend I don't like you, but you are still loved. I can pretend you don't like me, but you still love me in truth. Imagine approaching those who frighten you as beings who love you. Imagine that. Just imagine. You might need to do some meditation first. One of my favorite forgiveness meditations is at the end. I do a 12-power meditation. Many of you used to come to it every week. But I always end it with a forgiveness exercise, which is to bring the one that you still hold in darkness, in shadows, and reach out to your hand to them now, here, where it's safe, where they're not clearly not showing any resistance. And then what I do in the meditation is say, I invite the shadows to fall from you so that I can start to see your face in light. And then let the shadows fall to the floor, to the nothingness, so that I can see your whole being in light. And then I invite this being to join me or us in a circle where I can no longer discern the difference between this light and this light and this light and this light and this light, where there's no longer any difference. And so you see, now I'm no longer holding that shadow in my heart the way I did before. The Jesus Christ message is, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And ye shall know the truth. It doesn't say, and ye shall seek the truth. Many of us are seeking the truth. We need to know the truth. It's about finding. It's really about finding. So I find it through the law. I find it through principle. Are your words stemming from principle that starts in your mind? How many people in your life are against you right now? And how many are for you? They're all for you. They're all for you. The ones that scare you the most, the ones that you think can take your good away from you so quick, they're still for you, much as, I just hate to admit it. It's just painful to me some days to think, really? Really, this is for me? Come on. I sure would like what's for me to look different. I sure wish this airline attendant was happier towards me. This is how God is for me today. This is how I am to awaken today. This is. Years ago in some of my healing rooms I've been in, I remember this wonderful great big man stood at the front of the room and he said, as God is for you, nothing could ever be against you. And therefore, God has better things in store for you than anything you could ever imagine. And I've said that statement here on this stage before. And I thought, I could imagine some pretty wild things. I couldn't imagine serenity. That was beyond what I could imagine. Serenity. Imagine that. Serenity. That I can be at peace. If David is hurting, that I could still be at peace. Not indifferent, but at peace. That I could be at peace if someone I love makes their transition. That I could know the truth. That I could know there's no absence of love for me, or for you, or you, or you, or you. That there's no absence. Now, we can get together and have fun pretending that God is not, when we all know that God is. And we have. Many of us have gotten together and pretended that God is not. Don't raise your hands. We can pretend that God is not, but God is. And that's what we've got to live with. Either God is or God isn't. Either God is or God isn't. This afternoon, in our spiritual integrity workshop, our spiritual marketing workshop, that's what we're going to work on. Because spiritual marketing, you know, when you market, your marketing is the story you tell about yourself. Spiritual marketing is the story you tell to yourself about yourself. And we're going to find out what story we're telling to ourselves about ourselves so that we can freely walk forward as the light. I'm going to read you this last thing. Comes from Hebrews chapter 10, and it says, God is love. This is the truth that is known within your heart, because it has been written there. Know this truth. By sinking within your heart, mind to the heart, rest yourself within your heart. Here your true desire is known. Because here the truth of God is known. Then rise up and practice in joy. The truth is true, and it remains as always true. You are as you have always been. Love leads you always, even unto the remembrance of yourself. And so I congratulate us all today. We are here as God's beloved beings. We will never not be God's beloved beings. We have never not been God's beloved beings. But you see, today we've given ourselves one more chance to know it. Thank you so much.
I have gazed into the night and looked up at the stars and wondered if there might be life out there on Mars. Don't know if I can get there, but I sure would like to try. Let me dream, let me dare. Let me fly. Let me break the surly bonds of this gravity I know. Let the fear that has been holding me finally let me go. Let me see my dreams come true, not just stand here standing by. Let me soar, let me through, let me fly. Let me fly beyond the sky and into outer space. Let me look back at the earth and see a different place. From out there, I'll see no borders, no enemies, no war. And when I've returned, maybe I'll have learned what we're all living for. And I know the chance I take by taking to the sky, but the difference that I make will be the reason why. So even if I fail, even if I die, I have no regrets. The challenge has been met. The world will not forget that everyone can fly. Let me show.